Welcome again to this fourth session on discovering and knowing God as our Father. And so just a quick update again of what we've been doing so far. We've looked in the first session on how big is our God. We saw God is omniscient, he's omnipresent, sure, and he's good. He's our Father. Then we looked at God's heart revealed through Jesus. How did this relationship with God and Jesus work, the Old and the New Testament? How do we relate to God? And that's why we started in the third session with God's heart revealed to you and me. And we covered a couple of things. And especially today, we're going to finish with that and also what every child needs from their dad. Because how did God make us and how does it work? And then we're going to go on with the father wound, letting go of your past, which is so important, knowing your true identity in Christ, the elements of sonship, inheritance, and a promise of restoration. So for 12 sessions, we're busy and we're allowing God to work in us. But remember, we want the heart and the head to connect. There must be no disconnect. Because if it's just knowledge, it's not going to change us. It is the truth, but the truth will set us free. And so when we abide in the word, when we study these scriptures together, when we walk in this road together, that's when we're going to be free. But we need to engage our hearts because otherwise knowledge will puff up. I don't know if you've ever been in a lecture where the lecturer, you know, this lecturer knows all the knowledge about the subject, you know, or maybe you had a teacher at school and that teacher is really just very boring. They know everything about maths. And then nobody likes that class. Why? Because there's no connection between the knowledge and living it out. And then you get certain teachers that are just so passionate. And you look at their subject and you think, wow, I want to be part of this. Why? Because this person's passion is stirring me on to connect, you know. And so it's the same. We cannot have a disconnect between our head and our heart. Then we become religious. It's just like, oh, the love of God. Maybe, maybe not. You know, yeah, I've heard that before. But if we don't engage our hearts, we will not be healed. We'll not be whole. And Jesus promised his peace. He says, peace I will leave you. Remember, it's wholeness. It's the fullness of God. He says, I want to give you that peace so that you can be full of God, so that you know the fullness of joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And so that's so beautiful. And so when we looked at how God really feels about us, and we're taking our time through this, we looked at God's agape, unconditional love. Romans 8 verse 37, he says, nothing, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Are you persuaded? Do you know? Are you convinced? If you've been a witness to his love, yeah, that's what's so amazing about the story of the gospel. These guys all died a martyr's death. That's one of the greatest testimonies that Jesus actually lived and that he rose from the dead. If they all, you know, knew that it was a lie, they would not have given up their lives. But they gave their life up because they were there. They saw him resurrect. And that's why they became martyrs. They lived for this cause. A lot of people are living for many causes today. But hey, to give up your life because you've been there, you're not going to give up your life for a lie. And that's so beautiful because God's love is unconditional. Then we looked at God's heart for us, God's promises. God has got certain promises. And he said that, you know. And then we looked, the third thing is that we're made in the image of God. There's no junk. There's no illegitimacy. Even if your parents did not plan you, God planned you. God planned you. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Whom he foreknew, God's foreknowledge, God made you in his image. So there's no mistake. There's no by chance. You know, a lot of people think like, yeah, you know. But hey, that's not true. God has made you. And something changed in my heart when I realized this. I thought like, sure, I have an imperfect natural father. And so why didn't I have a better deal? Maybe that's what you're asking. And then God one day said to me, I'm your first father. I knew you before your natural father knew you. And I realized like, wow, I must actually have a change of mind. Yeah. God is my perfect father. He is the ultimate one. And he made me. He chose me before I chose him. That's what we saw in the previous session. So when I realized, like, God is my father number one, my earthly father is my second father, not my first father. So I need to go to the source. And isn't it amazing? We spoke about being made in the image of God. And this is where, especially us as men, we sometimes struggle a lot, you know, because, hey, you'll get that new thing and then you like look at it and you'll try to fix it, put it together. Whoa, you know, assemble it and you think like this is going to work and then it doesn't work. Why? Because you didn't go to the owner's manual. You didn't go to the like, what, how do you work this thing, you know? Because we want to figure it out ourselves. We want to like, hey, and then the ego and the pride gets in the way. And then somebody just comes and quickly fixes that thing. And you go like, oh, you know. So how do we discover life? How do you know who you are? It's only when you go to the one who's created you. It's only when you know God as the creator. The creator, the one who's made you. And so that's why go to the manual, go to the book of life, go to the Bible. Go and find out, discover what it means. And then we looked at the friendship with God. What an amazing just place to be called friends of God. Not familiar with God, not like yo, you know, he's just up there. He's my buddy, he's my surf buddy, and I, you know, I can play games with him and I can manipulate him. No, we can't control God. And a lot of people do that. You know, I had one friend, he was a lot used in the big prayer movement in Uganda, when Uganda had a massive revival. And they were actually had to flee firstly to the mountains, and they hid there for a couple of weeks. And so they were fasting and praying. They didn't really have food. But they started to pray and they were like really pressing in, and lots of things were happening and there was breakthrough and things started to come. And then one day the Lord asked him this question. He says, let's say, Peter, do you think that I need counsel? And Peter said, no, Lord, you don't. And the Lord asked him three times, do you think that I need counsel on what to do? My decisions. And he says, no, Lord, you're God, you know. And then the Lord told him this. He says, well, Peter, why do you, every time when you come to me, tell me what I must do, when I must do it, and where I must do it? And then you realize that prayer was much more of surrender and listening and trusting and giving of yourself to God than just babbling lots of words and just murmuring a lot of words. Because, hey, it's about trusting the one who's created you. And so God knows us. And this is the fifth thing we're going to focus on. The fact that God knows about you. And I love this psalm. And this is going to be part of this fourth session before we're going to start to deal with and look at what every child needs. But Psalm 139 verse 1 to 7. This is David writing. Now, David had a terrible life in many ways, and he had a great life in many ways. He was a very passionate guy, a guy after God's own heart. He really loved the Lord, but he also messed up. But he understood. He understood what it meant to really repent and change, and he knew the heart of God. That's why Psalm 51 was such a beautiful psalm, where after you sin with Bathsheba, he says, God, against you and you alone have I sinned. Restore me. Lord, bring, it's about your presence in my life. It's not just a feeling about feeling bad about what I've done wrong and how bad I am, because and God said, that is a man after my own heart. You know, because he served his generation. He knew what it meant to connect with God. He knew what it meant to not be perfect. But he also learned the power of repentance, the power of changing and coming into that place. And listen to this, what he writes in Psalm 139, verse 1 to 7. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Sure, God knows us intimately. And so, if we embark on this, you know, another illustration, I'm trying to paint a couple of pictures here. If you want to be whole, say you have a physical sickness, then you're going to go to the doctor. So what are you going to do? The first thing you're going to do is you're going to listen. You're going to phone a couple of friends. You're going to say, look, yeah, maybe let's say I need an operation in my hand, you know? So I'm going to try and find out who's good at operating on hands, you know? There may be a very good heart specialist that is even, you know, known, very well known. But you're not going to go to a heart specialist if you have a problem with your hand, you know? I don't know if you've ever seen some of these pictures of people, you know, that take x-rays and then there's a scissor in the guy's stomach, you know, the doctor forgot it there. You know, that's one of my greatest fears, just natural fears, you know? But if that guy is a hand specialist, then I'm going to find out who's good at this, you know? Who can I trust? And then I'm going to go to the person and maybe it's some 3 or 4 hours operation. I'm going to find out what is the pedigree of this person. What is this special? What do they specialize in, you know? I'm going to look at their track record. I'm going to look at, you know, have they messed up? Is there court cases? I'm going to do a bit of research before I just walk into that operation room and say, hey, put me under and let me trust and just, you know, hope for the best, take a high five, and here we go. Now, we don't do that. Why? Because we look at the track record of that person. But in the same way, if we want to embark on this journey with God, do as our healer, as the one who restores us, as the one who specializes in our identity, then do we actually go to Scripture and say, wow, look at this, I can trust God because even when I was unfaithful, He was faithful. And that's the picture I want to show you. God specializes in knowing you better than what you know yourself. He can do stuff in you because He brings you back. He restores you. And that's the most amazing thing of knowing God. That's the most amazing thing of God, not just fixing you up, but actually giving you a legacy, actually giving you a promise. And listen to this, the sixth thing here on your slide, you can see God's pleasure to give us a legacy. I love this one verse in Luke 12, 32. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, not just is God interested in fixing you and me and restoring us so that we can have a relationship with Him. God takes pleasure. And David understood this. He says, you know, at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Yeah. So God takes pleasure in certain things. You know, so firstly, as you come to the doctor, you realize like, whoa, this guy really specializes. I can trust him. I'm going to get into that operating room and sure, I still put my faith in God, you know, but I can trust this guy. But you know, if you know that that doctor just does it for the job, you're going to think like, whoa. But if that doctor is your father, you're going to know that that father is like a physical doctor, you know, a natural doctor, and you're the son of that doctor is going to like really take care of you. Why? Because he takes pleasure in you being healed, in you coming back to the ability for you to use this hand, you know? And so if we realize that God isn't just a fix me up, He isn't just a panel beater, but God hates what the devil has done in your life. He hates what the devil has done in my life. And therefore, He wants to give us a legacy. But more than that, just restoration. He says here, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now the picture. If you see that child, you know, if I remember with my children, you see that child has been crawling all the time like a little baby. And that child takes that first step. Every camera is out. It is as if this is the first child in the world that has walked. You know, I don't know if you've been like on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and you know people that's got young children. Sometimes it bores you like extremely because you think like, please stop posting all the pictures of your child. But until you have your own child, you're going to realize like it's like you are so overjoyed. It's like, this step is more important than winning the World Cup. That one step of that child. Why? Because they've achieved. They've grown. It's like, yeah, we do it. Like, wow, this is so amazing. And you just like, oh, you see this mother going like, for hours with this child. And you think like, are you crazy, you know? But why? Because there's something in there that father's heart that takes pleasure in the child because you belong to that child, because you've grown, you've taken a step, maybe in faith. And that's why faith pleases God. That's why stepping out, trusting the Lord for healing and restoration pleases God in our lives, because we're saying, I'm going to break with the lies of the father of lies, which is called the devil. You know, and so God takes pleasure when you and I get to do something right. When we take that step of faith, when we just say, yes, God, even if I failed 1,000 times, I'm going to try again because, hey, your grace is sufficient for me. And that is God's will and heart for us. If we look at this idea of legacy, God's will is that parents pass on a legacy of blessing from generation to generation. So that was supposed to happen in our natural family. You know, we saw that in Abram, God wanted all the families of the earth to be blessed, to not just know blessing, but to be a blessing. It's different just than to have a lot of things, you know, because you can have a lot of things, but still be the most miserable person around. I remember going to these people, these super rich people. It's one of those stories that I just learned such a lesson, you know, because they invited us for a barbecue, for a braai, you know, and we were going there and I starved myself the whole day, drove up to the mansion there in a suburb of Cape Town, and I was ready to eat, you know. And when we got there, the guy took out, you know, some small little sausages, and he put it on the fire, and he fried that small sausages. And I thought, like, well, great starter for the food, you know. Where's the rest? And that was it. Some bread, and I think there was potato salad. I went home starving, mad, hungry, you know. But I was so disappointed. Firstly, myself, that I had this massive expectation and didn't eat all day. But then we went back and we ate at home again. And I was thinking for weeks after that about this guy being trapped, because I realized money has got a hold on him. Something has got a hold on him. He's not a steward. He's not in control. Money controls him, because he had this mansion, multi-millionaire, but he could not even buy proper food because he was so stingy. And then I realized, like, sure, this guy's trapped. He's not free, because there's no freedom to give. There's no ability to be generous. He's controlled by his fears. He's controlled by the fact that he's not going to have enough. But God is not like that. God wants to bless, and he wants you not to have a lot of blessings. He wants you to become a blessing. And once you realize that in you, in that legacy, God wants the families of the earth to be blessed. You know, that's why Romans 8 verse 19 says this, that all creation eagerly awaits with eager expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. Even creation, nature, is waiting for you and I to step up into the promises of God, to begin to ask him for the things and say, Lord, I realize that it's not just about me surviving, but actually me walking in the authority of Christ and actually beginning to declare who he is and why I'm here, and tell the world that Jesus lives, that Jesus died for us. And that's why it is so important that you and I align ourselves with who God is. Almost like taking your car in for wheel alignment, you know, because sometimes we believe the lies and then all the tires work against each other. But when you wheel align your car, it's like, hey, we're going to drive smoothly into the purposes of God, into who God is, into that peace of wholeness. And so sometimes, you know, it's uneasy. We need to, you know, get the car into the garage, let the mechanic lift it up and say, hey, these wheels, let's test it, because, hey, there's some friction here. You're going to lose all the tire on your tires, you know. All the rubber is going to go off. Why? Because you're working against each other. And some people are just so frustrated with their lives. They're just so irritated. There's so much stuff in their heads. Some people are struggling with so many anxieties and depression because they don't know their true identity in Christ. And so this last slide, just quickly before we're going to get to the task of session number 4, is we need to know what every child needs. And this is what God wants to give us. God wants to give us affection, affirmation, acceptance, approval, and also discipline. The moment when you hear that last one, you don't like it, but it is, you need discipline, because discipline creates great boundaries. It's real love. If you've never been disciplined in your life as a child, you're in trouble. Why? Because it means that there's no boundaries. You can just do what you want to. There's no consequences for your actions. And they, a child must learn that, because you're going to feel very safe if you've been disciplined in an environment where you realize somebody is caring enough for me to say there's consequences for your actions. Otherwise, one day when it comes to God and it comes to heaven and all, then people just think like, oh no, there's definitely not. There's no consequences to my sin. And then people really fall in for that lie. But it only discipline is, you know, discipline comes for restoration, not for punishment. A lot of people are being punished through discipline, and that's not godly. But it's when we understand affection and affirmation and acceptance and approval. God approves of us. He loves us. He affirms us. He affectionately loves us. He's not just like, oh, yo, you know, feel good. It's like, hey, he tells us. And that's why we have to tell the people around us that we love them. And so that's what, you know, that we're rooted and grounded in love. The father's natural fathers needs to encourage, believe in, protect, provide. And we're going to look at in the real last session of number 12, what does a godly family look like? What's the role of the parents? What's the role of the mother, the father, the children? But these are the basic things we need. And if you've been struggling with affection or receiving affection and affirmation or discipline, then these things have consequences in our lives. Or maybe you grew up with a dad not being there. And we're going to look at that in the next session. So we're going to end off this fourth section by giving you a task. We gave you that scripture in Psalm 139, verse 1 to 7. That's where we just like say, hey, what are the things that were highlighted to me when David prayed this prayer? Lord, sure, you know me. You know me. It's a vulnerable place. But when we are real with God, that's when he comes and he heals us in our hearts. Say, yes, Lord, it's a great space to be. Great space to be vulnerable, to trust you, you know, to be dependent on God. Now, with people, we are interdependent. We're never dependent on people, but we must be interdependent. And we should never be independent from God or from people. God has not made us that way. But when we hurt, we become independent. It's me, myself. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to fight this battle. God is not, no Independence Day there. He wants us to be dependent on him completely and then interdependent from the people around us. So what are some of those things that stood out for you? And then pray those verses over you. Pray and say, Lord, I thank you. Those verses we saw in Jeremiah in the previous session. Lord, thank you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Father, that who you've created me. Thank you that I can be a friend of God. Thank you that I've been made in the image of God. And then there's a couple of things when in this last slide, when we look again at that last slide of affection, affirmation, acceptance, approval, and discipline, the question, the task there is identify the top two you relate to the least in your relationship with your natural dad. And maybe just go and think about it. Pray over and say, sure, my dad, he provided for me, but he never affectionately loved me. He never affirmed me in front of other people. He never really accepted me because, hey, maybe he wanted me to be a girl, or he wanted me to be a boy, or he wanted me to play rugby and I played hockey or something, or he never approved of who I was and what I did. And then just bring that to God. Just bring that discipline thing to God and let him restore you and say, Lord, I thank you. It's your pleasure to give me my true identity and to give me the kingdom. And so that's your task as we're going to start to embark on this journey of discovering our true identity as we deal with our past, as we look at what we need, because you need that identity and you get it primarily from your parents as you grow up. But we're going to just allow God to make us whole and to restore us completely so that we can walk in the fullness of Christ. So let me pray for you as we're going to look at this task specifically. Father, thank you for this freedom we can have, Lord, to be called friends of God. Lord, come and heal, affirm, accept, approve, come discipline, come show us your truth so that we can walk in the complete freedom of Jesus. Lord, we refuse the lies of the devil and we say yes to your promises, yes to your perfect peace, yes to your wholeness in our lives. Lord, come and restore and break every hardness of our heart as we repent like David repented and ask that you forgive us and give us soft hearts to believe again, to trust again, to walk by faith again. And Lord, it pleases you to give us the kingdom, and that's what we ask. Give us the kingdom. And where's the kingdom, Lord? It's inside of us. It's love, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Lord, let your kingdom come inside so that it can go through us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.